Good morning, this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen, and especially our co-host, Mr. Scott Ridgway. I cannot thank you enough for filling in the last 2 weeks for me. I'm so excited to be back.
We had some great shows. We missed you.
Well, you've been making listings
yes. while we've been working and you've been out. So this is really good.
In fact, when I was back, a few clients had called in, and so you must not have done too bad, and I got great feedback from the show.
Yeah, we muscled through. We had a good
time. Not to mention that we got a call from a casting company, and they want you to take over Gilbert Gottfried's role as the Aflac duck.
That would be nice. Really appreciate that.
But anyway, I can't thank you enough. Great feedback from the other shows. We just, we have been swamped with the spring market. I had some traveling involved there and some tax appointments, and I appreciate you just filling in for us.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time with the guests. Heather and Brent did a great job last week. That was a lot of fun.
Well, fabulous. Well, we normally we get into some news and we talk about what's going on in our local news affecting our real estate market. There's a lot. There's been a ton of news stories out. In fact, one of the stories this week in the Herald talked about how many lists that we end up being on for great places to live. There was like, you know, top 10 romantic getaways, you know, number 2 for appreciation, you know,
one of the 10 best places to start over and re-jumpstart your career.
Exactly. One of the top 25 places for college students to find employment, you know, so it was just amazing when you read through that article how great our rankings are becoming and how many, you know, how much exposure we're getting in our area. So that's phenomenal. And that kind of segues into what we wanted to talk about today. And that was a little bit about how national and world events and headlines, and gosh, we've had some crazy ones the last 2 weeks, and there's so much going on.
The news has given us a lot of material to talk about today and how it impacts us.
Definitely. And so what we wanted to talk about a little bit is how are some of these national trends, how are some of these worldwide events coming down to locally affect our lending and our real estate market here in the Tri-Cities. So number one I wanted to go over, just normally I was gone, so we usually the second week of the month report the previous official numbers coming out of the Tri-Cities Association of Realtors. And since I was gone, we're doing that this week. So here it is. Our inventory is still holding very steady there, right in there kind of what we've been. February saw a modest increase, but not much. We had January 952 homes in inventory. We ended up at February with 979. So pretty similar type inventories there in the upper 900s. Now, with 157 sold units in February, which is a little slow for a February. So, but with that compared to our current inventory, we call it absorption rate. We say if no more new homes came on the market and that's how many we were selling, what is our supply of homes? And that puts us right at 6 months. And we've talked about the show, our listeners, and for people that are new that don't know, a 6 month supply is right what we call a balanced market. That's when we're pretty balanced between buyers and sellers, and it's a pretty even keeled market. So
it prevents swings either way. When you start getting too little or too much supply, you get the pendulum out of whack.
Exactly. And 6 months is kind of our benchmark that we use. So our under contract number, though, has rebounded quite a bit. So 157 officially sold and closed. Under contracts, we're at 279, which is an indicator that March is going to kind of tick up a little bit. So we're going to have we're likely to see that sold number increase in March. This is good because that February number of 157 is a little bit slow for us. In fact, it was slowest in about 3 years that we've had. My indication from activity level, what's been happening is that March is going to be huge. I think we're going to see a big increase in sales. We've had a lot of diversity across the market. In fact, last week alone, I was looking, we had like 3 sales last weekend. And one was a HUD home that was actually a bank repo sale. We had an existing home in West Pasco that we sold, and then a new construction contract all in the course of a weekend. So pretty diverse, you know. We've got a couple investors out there buying for fix-up, people moving up to existing homes, and then also still those folks that are getting out of their apartments and getting out of their rentals and buying the new construction homes. So
it's actually been really steady, because the volatility is what kind of throws things off, and the stability really helps the appraised values and the purchase prices just kind of keep a smooth, consistent, steady incline, which we're seeing just a little bit.
That's exactly
versus
right.
Versus the declines that some of these other markets across the nation are seeing.
So slow and steady growth is the best.
It really is, and it makes for a fantastic market with the low rates and the consistent prices and 6 months inventory. We're really about where we want to be going into the spring.
That's exactly right. So let's see how that compares a little bit. So to national news headline, and then a comparison and effect on our local markets. So this week came out that beginning home construction for February.
Here it goes.
Was down on a national scale 22%.
I saw that this morning. That was a bad number this week.
That makes that actually the slowest pace since April of 2009, which was right in the thick of things when there was problems.
But you know, in addition to that, they're also talking about the economy starting to show stability, and so that's really good.
Exactly.
So the housing market is a lag a little bit nationally than where the economics of the nation are really going. That's good.
So when we look at new construction, let's compare that to our market starts for this first 2 months of the year. Up 20%. So what we have here is a crazy difference.
42% roughly.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the span and the difference between the two. So here's what we have, and here's what we kind of relate that. Okay, why is that happening? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So nationally, we've got a lot of issues brewing. So one is there's a massive foreclosures hitting the market. So banks are processing and releasing a lot of foreclosures in a lot of these huge markets, like everywhere from Detroit, Florida, Phoenix, Vegas, Tucson.
So what do you see the impact on housing prices are in those markets? Is that why you're seeing the softening in housing prices?
Well, that's exactly what happens. Because what happens, okay, is the bank is not concerned about cost of construction.
Right.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that and how that impacts pricing from a national level. So right now, what's happening is these on a large scale, these banks, they are tasked with the job of clearing out these assets.
Yeah, they want them off their books.
Yeah, in fact, there was speculation last week. In fact, Bank of America was going through speculation, huge national lender, of actually separating this kind of oversimplifies it, but almost into a bad bank, good bank scenario, where one, their toxic assets were going to be separated off to this bad bank that was basically tasked with liquidating that portfolio.
And that's where those short sales come from.
And that's where a lot of the short sales come from prior to foreclosure. And a lot of these are even after the bank has foreclosed officially and regained possession, they're going to be getting rid of those houses. So you have a lot of these areas. What happened in these areas and why did this happen?
This should headquarter that in Vegas. I was reading on the news, they said one out of every seven homes in Nevada is vacant right now.
As opposed to the Tri-Cities market.
Because of these foreclosures and real estate issues.
And we're at 99.7% vacancy or something
That's exactly right. We have almost, zero vacancy rates in our apartments and in our rentals. So what happens now is even if there is new construction homes being built in these metro markets like this, and you have these foreclosures coming on, and the goal is to move these foreclosures off the books as fast as possible, that's bringing down those prices. Also is what you have in most of these communities that we talked about is you have a lot of foreclosures happening, and you also have most of these are huge second home markets, okay? And so you've got Phoenix and Vegas and Florida. A lot of these homes were bought on speculation. They were second homes. They were vacation homes. Well, what happens is we find that creates a huge, massive extra supply, because last time I checked, when it boils down to it, you can only live in one spot at a time.
Yes.
Meaning if you have a second home somewhere, there's a vacant property.
Mm-hmm.
And when it becomes an economic issue and you can't make payments on those second properties, those are the first ones to go.
To go.
Because you're not there, kind of out of sight, out of mind. So what you have happening, too, is you just have a massive supply of vacant homes that they're liquidating. So you got the foreclosures, the big homes. We don't have either of those right now. We don't have a huge second home market here.
Right.
And also, when these homes were built and originally sold, they weren't sold based upon cost of construction. The cost of construction was minimal compared to some of these sales prices because there was other inflationary factors, and demand was a huge one of those.
It was market demand, and that's what
demand
our listeners, I think,
the price.
They've learned so much from all the shows that we've done is that supply and demand works in the housing market just like it works in the lending market from the standpoint of the pendulum swing between stocks and bonds.
Automotive, anything.
You bet.
People
sell
want
off in the
stocks, price,
demand on bonds, rates come down. Mm-hmm. Sell off in housing, demand falls, so does the price.
And so what we have happening here is, I mean, our builders, you know, in these locations, we're just churning and churning on massive, massive amounts of profits. Now, there are some builders in town that do well and that do very well, but I can tell you folks that the margins I've seen, you know, what they build these homes for and what they're selling for here, we are more based upon cost of construction.
Reality.
It really is. It's a lot skinnier.
A lot of the home prices that we're seeing here are tied very closely to cost of construction.
And that's probably good for the consumer because there's not a lot of artificial costs.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, the margins that the builders are working here are much less than they were in these boom times when this was happening. So what you have now is you have a lot of these markets returning back to a cost of construction type model where there is a profit margin built in for building and a charge for building and doing that. But it's not nearly what it was. It's based more solely on what's going into the house. And so at this point, we're based more on cost of construction. We're seeing more realistic pricing. Mm-hmm. We never had that run up, that artificial run up. And so at the same time, we didn't have to face the crash. Luckily, we didn't.
We were on a straight line instead of the roller coaster.
Overall, it's been very well and stable, and people are drawn to stability because that's happened in our market. We're seeing a lot of that. Now,
you know, a place that they can see that difference is when they buy a house and they get their appraisal in. There's going to be two numbers on that appraisal. One's going to be the market value and one's going to be the cost approach. And if those two are very close, that lets you know that a market is priced really close to that cost to construct. So that's where people can see that in writing and in actual numbers is that appraisal.
That's a great point. Mm. Now, real life scenario, what happened to our local builders? Why, if we had greater demand like we did last summer when we had inventory of 1,350 units selling with a 3-month supply, why was that happening? Well, let me talk a little bit about that. Real life scenario on what is happening and what has happened to some of these folks out there building. Say a builder is in a subdivision here in town locally. They have great demand. They've got four homes up under construction. Mm-hmm. They've got contracts on all four of those. Mm-hmm. They're building a great product and a great model. And because of that, they've had other clients come by and go through maybe a model house or a house that's about to be constructed. And they get a contract. They get people that are willing to commit to them to build four more homes to get those started and start building.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Good news, right? But what happens is because of new regulations and new banking regulations regionally and nationally that have been put on these builders, the bank might say, you know what, your limit of any homes going at any one time right now is five.
Right, because of the amount of spec money that they're going to allow them to build off of.
The amount of money that they're allowed to build off.
And exactly.
There's a risk factor because they think some of those contracts could be canceled. You know, so potentially this builder could be having going with signed commitments, six of those with contracts, two with just people driving by.
But they'll only let him get the money for five.
And so we've seen a general tightening and a general feeling. And that is a really, I mean, folks, I'm sure there's a banker out there cringing listening to the right now. Folks, I am.
But we are committed to telling them the truth. Need to know.
Well, I'm simplifying the process.
Absolutely.
And it will be based upon credit scores and contracts and amounts. But this is a simple scenario that, that I can understand. Let's just say it's for me, myself. This is the simplified version of how it's happened and what's happened. And we've heard this from local builders and talking to them and what's been said, and it's kind of tough right now. So even though they may have that demand right now, they're just trying to finish these homes as fast as possible and get them closed so they can start the next couple ones. And they are dealing with greater amounts of regulations. And I haven't seen folks, people have tried to say there's been some loosening with money out there, and it looks like it might be loosening. Personally, I just haven't seen it yet.
Not with the builders with spec money, because they're really looking at cash flow and how fast they can turn these properties with the lowest risk of additional properties sitting in the event that things did slow down.
And so that's real life scenario, national headline that's affected our local market in a very simple, simple terms. I know we're up against our break. I got excited. I haven't been here in 2 weeks.
That is perfectly fine.
I'm going to let us go to break and let's let Mr. Ridgway, I haven't even let him talk.
Oh, I've got questions. I've got questions for you when we come back from the break.
Oh, let's go to break.
Right here on News Talk 870. We'll be right back.
City's Real Estate Update. We're here with Mr. Scott Ridgway at Cobalt Mortgage. Scott, I took up the majority of the first segment.
That was a lot of fun, though.
Tell us, give us a little bit. Tell us what's going on at lending. And I know, talk about how some of these national headlines, crazy headlines, end up affecting your rates, your job, and what you're doing.
Well, his eyes look like saucers when you said that.
You know, there's so much information going out there, in international news. And like we were talking about, that pendulum swing in housing prices from a supply and demand standpoint, you know, you have to look at the treasuries and what's going on. The 10-year treasury is what interest rates are most closely priced to. And the treasuries have been rallying. This stock market's been selling off. And people have been buying U.S. treasuries, but then you've got to throw into the mix the stuff that's going on in Japan.
Right.
And the Japanese hold over $800 billion in U.S. treasuries. And so in the event that they start to what they call repatriate their own country, and they start selling some of the U.S. treasuries to be able to take their money and put it back into their own country, that can have a negative effect. So depending on what happens with that, then you've got oil prices, you've got the housing industry, you've got the unemployment numbers or employment numbers, and all of those have a dramatic impact. So we're seeing massive volatility in the market right now. That's just what we're seeing.
Well, Japan's economy was kind of teetering before this occurred anyway.
Yeah, so then you put some more of this international news about these plants that are having issues over in Japan and how that's going to trickle down to, well, what's going on in the U.S. economy? What's going on in stocks that are also invested overseas? Different companies that may be selling off. So when those monies sell off, where do they go? They go into bonds. Or
and
they
even
go into
insurance
cash
too. 75% of all the insurance sold in Japan is Aflac.
Isn't that amazing?
When these claims start to come in, how's that going to affect them? Because they're going to be looking at billions of dollars worth of damage.
Right. So there's a lot of emotional decision going on out there, and it is having an impact on our markets. So what we've seen as of late is we've seen a sell-off in the stock market, money coming out of the stock market and going into bonds. As that demand gets put on bonds, it raises the price on bonds. What that does also is it lowers the yields on those bonds, and that's what those interest rates are tied to. So as the yields fall, so do the interest rates, and that's why we're seeing interest rates in the high fours again with the disclosures of good credit and proper down payment and making sure that the product that we're pricing is the right one for our client. But that's what's happening right now. So we're seeing a dip in the market, and especially coming into the spring, it is an optimal time with low interest rates, a balanced housing market like you're talking about, the springtime where people are looking, okay, am I going to buy? Am I going to sell my existing house? Am I going to put an addition on, or does it make sense to maybe make this transaction happen with these low interest rates? Because with the rent market being so, I don't want to say saturated, but there's really not much that you can rent out there.
Not much available.
And so if you look at what you can buy a house for as far as your monthly housing obligation versus what you would be paying in rent, there is no better time that I've seen in 18 years to be buying your first home and getting out of a scenario where you're renting. And then we can have you obviously have them talk with Don Taylor and see what their tax advantages would be for that mortgage interest that they can still take as a deduction.
So it's crazy when you you wow. look how he connects the dots there, how a national disaster in another country can cause a stock market sell-off, a flight to quality into bonds, mm-hmm. and can end up lowering your interest rate for a borrower here in Tri-Cities.
And you making know, it an incredible opportunity for a lot of folks right now.
You know, it's, you know, not to sound insensitive, but it's kind of weird how
it's,
well, we
an,
don't
event, mean, an
yeah.
event like that can yeah. make it a better time for you to buy a house.
Well, it causes very, volatility.
It causes volatility.
Yeah, and
yeah.
that's what investors are looking for in the markets is volatility. You know, you want to sell when things are high and buy when things are low. Well, mm-hmm. interest rates are low. Housing prices have remained extremely stable. This market is showing signs, and the numbers nationally are showing it, that it's a stable market that is kind of poised to maybe come back up. And it's at, what, number two in the nation of right. places to live. So why wouldn't you make every attempt to purchase a home now mm-hmm. to take advantage of all that stuff when you're below a 200-year average on interest rates?
Wow.
Well, Scott,
why would you not take advantage of that?
Well, Scott, as much as I don't want to, I'm going to give you one reason why you wouldn't. Okay.
Let's hear it.
Oh.
Okay. Let's hear it.
I mean, first.
Let's hear it, because we've got to be fair and balanced to all of our listeners.
We've got to be fair and balanced.
So
nationally,
we want to talk about
nationally
that.
What's happening that can prevent somebody from doing that, and one reason why our rental rates are so high. So I want to give a real-life scenario for a national issue affecting a local scenario. So here okay. it is. For instance, we run into this all the time with our clients. It's been a struggle for the last 2 years. And just so that everybody kind of realizes what actually happens. So, mm-hmm. for instance, our mm-hmm. medical field has been growing here leaps and bounds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, new docs coming in.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
with all those hospital expansions.
Hospital expansions and stuff. And so, you know, great, great talent and great folks coming to this area. What happens, though, is you have to think that they are
I see where you're going with this. Uh-huh, yeah.
They're usually relocating here for a reason. We have the jobs here. They're coming here.
Right.
What happens a lot of times is now they have a home to sell in a depressed market that they're leaving.
That they may be upside down in.
When they come here, they're in a market that has, instead of like we have a balanced 6-month supply with a lot of movement,
mm-hmm.
they're coming from a market that has an 18 to 24 month supply of homes. Imagine having a 2-year supply of homes in a market.
Wow.
So what
right.
happens is that new doctor or that new scientist or that new nurse, they can't buy here because they can't qualify for a mortgage, having a second mortgage in another one of those markets. So that creates what happens is that creates a couple of problems. And it also is another thing that has driven our rental market here. The mm-hmm. jobs are here. People are coming here.
Mm-hmm.
But a percentage of those folks can't buy here until they're able to get rid of the house in the depressed market.
And yeah. because of the depressed market, a lot of times they're going to end up taking less value. They'll get less money out of it, which means...
It's very possible. So
yeah.
that is
kind of like what the banks are doing with short sales. They're doing what they need to do to get that property sold.
So Whatever they need to do.
A national trend that's affecting our local market. What happens here, too, is they're coming here now, too, with fears and expectations about what could happen to the market
right.
because what they know and have just lived through is that that is reality.
Yeah, they don't understand this market.
And so we're talking about differences here in diversity, and we do talk about that a lot, our diversity in our jobs, you know, our government funding and support that we've had through this that has helped us, you know, tremendously. And our growth here and our lifestyle. So there is a huge portion of this that becomes education about our local market and mm-hmm. monitoring our local market.
Well, that outlines
to help educate those folks.
Absolutely. And that outlines what we always talk about, and that is have a realistic plan. So if you want to get a realistic mortgage plan or a relocation plan or a rental plan in place, that's what we specialize
do
with the
homework.
Purchase market. Yeah, at Cobalt Mortgage. Give me a call, 737-6004, 737-6004, and we can help you lay out a plan so you can make a good educated decision on what's best for you, either purchasing or potentially renting.
Well, perfect. Now let me tell you about three of those places that you're going to want to hear.
The big three. Let's take a look. I love
the bungee cords.
Number one, we're out there at the Mediterranean Villas. If you're looking for a condo, just a low maintenance type place, 9904 Vincenzo Drive, $145,000 gorgeous townhouse, 2-bedroom, 2-bath, rambler, single level, raised ceilings. Beautiful new tile floors in the kitchen and the bathroom, solid oak cabinets in the kitchen. I mean, these things were built with the cement walls. Utilities are super, super low. Nice yard, relaxed covered porch. I mean, for $145,000, zero maintenance living, this is a fabulous type place. So great, great type place.
Wow.
We talked about not being a huge second home market here, but if you traveled in the winter or were gone in the winters here, this would just be an ideal place to keep.
This is a concrete wall construction? Yes, that foam block kind of?
Foam construction.
And those are so quiet inside and so energy efficient.
Super quiet. So it's a fabulous place. Pick number two. We just picked this up. 149 Henley Drive in Pasco. $165,000. This is at Sun Willows out there by Sun Willows Golf Course in Pasco. Totally move-in ready. I thought it might be a brand-new construction home the first time I pulled up to it and went into this. Three-bedroom, two-bath, tons of windows that just bring in tons of light, large kitchen, maple cabinets, large master suite with walk-in closets, vaulted ceilings. I mean, just fabulous, fabulous home out there in the golf course community for $165,000.
Wow.
So just fabulous.
Golf course community, that's a key right there, folks.
Now, pick number three here. This is kind of an estate-type property, large property. This house is 4,445 square feet. It's a 230 Carr Road. That's a little bit north of Pasco on the Clovis Highway.
Mm-hmm.
Out there on Carr Road, the sellers have reduced the price from $500,000 to $475,000. So they've recently just reduced the price. They said it's spring. Let's move this house. Five bedrooms, three bath. Completely remodeled in 2003, vaulted ceilings, two heat pumps, huge kitchen, and then you've also got just a huge shop, and this is on 5 acres.
Hey, don't we talk about a motorcycle track from time to time?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And sounds nice.
So we've got a big shop, deal. 5 acres, recent price reduction. On top of this, the sellers asked me, what is it going to take to get somebody in this home in the spring market? So I've chatted with them about this. We have their permission. I tell you what, I said, let's reduce the price, $25,000. Give some people an opportunity to get into this house, and just to sweeten the pot a little bit, why don't you as the seller pay the buyer's mortgage payments for 4 months so they can live in there the summer for free?
And that can be done with products we have at Cobalt Mortgage.
With financing. So I've talked to Scott about this with the product they've launched. We can put these reserves into escrow.
Yes.
And so there's no question at closing that they will be able to live in this home for the summer for free, basically, because the seller's going to pay the
first
4 months. And this
is all $475,000.
It's $475,000.
I think that might possibly be per capita the best pick three we've ever seen.
We're actually at a point now where we're less than what the seller paid for it.
Wow.
So they're making the move. It's the spring market. They're committed to sell this home.
So this is a great opportunity for somebody to roll in at low interest rates and have the seller pay up to 4 months of those mortgage payments for that buyer.
With a price reduction that we've done.
With a price reduction,
it's a fabulous deal. Let's get it moved. Give me a call. I'm at 727-8977. That's my cell number. Give me a call if you want to see any of these properties. I'm glad to be back. Scott, I was very appreciative to have you do it, but I missed it.
Yeah, it's nice to have you back. I mean, it was fun for that couple of weeks. It's
so
great to have you back.
Pent up knowledge, I was writing notes while I was gone. I got to save that for the radio show. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, John, Scott, I appreciate you guys filling in for me. It's glad to be back. The spring market is here. It's been here.
Exploding.
We're extremely busy, but we'd love to take a look at some more property, get some more inventory going. Visit us at KenmoreTeam.com or call my cell phone, 727-8977. Scott, take us out here and wrap us up.
Well, if you are renting out there and are interested in considering becoming a buyer of a home, give Scott a call. Cobalt Mortgage, 737-6004. That's 737-6004. Or you can visit me on my website at scottridgeway.com.
That's right, and that'll wrap it up. We'll see you next Saturday morning right here on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update on News Talk 870.